Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Yeah, this is Penn Jillette in Las Vegas, Nevada, sitting across from Michael Goodell here on a wonderful Monday on the Big Penn Jillette Show. How are you doing, Michael Goodell?
I'm doing very well, sir.
Good. What I want to say first, I'll get this out of the way. Tomorrow, which a lot of you are hanging on the edge of your seats as another Monkey Tuesday, we had such a good Monkey Tuesday last week. You know, we had Allie call up and talk about the monkey biting her breast, which has everything that I want in life. That was a great story. And because of that, I was thinking of stopping Monkey Tuesday. But I'm not going to go that far. I don't want to overreact to just, you know, the beauty of the whole thing. I want very much to be able for an idea to outlive its usefulness, you know. And I think on Monkey Tuesday, we really want to just keep beating that dead ape. So we will do more Monkey Tuesdays in the future. But tomorrow, we're not going to do a Monkey Tuesday.
Which is too bad, because that, you know, that London Gorilla Run?
Well, don't start talking
from the weekend.
I'm not.
We'll talk.
Maybe we'll get to the Gorilla Run another day.
I just want people to take a look at the photos while they're available.
Okay. Go ahead. You can pimp it. Go ahead.
Go do a Google search for the London's Great Gorilla Run. It's great.
London's Great Gorilla Run. Yeah, pictures of people running
people running in gorilla suits.
Yeah, that's great.
Hard to beat that.
No, it's very hard to beat that. But we're not going to talk about
tomorrow. We're not talking
about that. We're not going to talk about that today. We have a great interview with Phyllis Diller, who's one of my absolute heroes. We're going to put that on tomorrow. When I say we have, it means that the show tomorrow will be pre-recorded. And the reason is, of course, that I want to play this really great Phyllis Diller thing. But also, it's that I'm going to be playing poker tomorrow morning.
There are a bunch of suckers going to be in town.
No, there's a television program I'm doing called like Pros versus Hotties, and I don't really know what side I'm on for that one. But it's a lot of poker pros. It's
you
for
want
ABC
help
or
with
something.
This?
It's a lot of poker pros playing against celebrities. So I'm in the category, I guess, with Jennifer Tilly. I'm one of the hotties. There's a great equalizer because we get more chips than the pros do. So I'll be sitting here. And this time, this is very exciting. This time I'm playing for myself. Note that the word was for there. This time I'm playing for myself. I don't have to give to charity. So if I were to win this thing, you know, Jesus will come back, you know, from the dead. But if I were to win this thing, I get $500,000.
Really?
Yeah. So if I, you know, if I end up with
bonus for your radio pals,
maybe you want me to make a deal like the guy that won the big poker thing,
yeah.
A deal that I won't keep up. But since so the real reason that we're not having a Monkey Tuesday tomorrow is that I have a poker game to go to. Let's get cynical. I want to get cynical. Speaking of which, Bill Clinton with the Chris Wallace thing, I made you watch that.
You did.
Before we went on. I said, find that and watch it. Does anybody now believe that he was really upset, that this wasn't just calculated to get votes for his wife? Because now all the lefties are going, no one dares go up against Fox News except Bill Clinton. And he's like leaning forward and doing all this body language stuff and pointing the finger pointed at him. And he's just getting really heavy. And it's all rehearsed, right? I mean, did you think for a second that he was really upset?
He might have been upset.
You think so?
I'm not positive.
Really?
Maybe he's a really good actor. Maybe we should, you know, maybe get an Emmy on this.
Well, we already know I did not have sex with that woman. I
mean, yeah, we know he's a good actor.
He's done stuff that we've proven was a lie before. And was very sincere. You know, I never really liked Clinton. I think the big difference between Clinton and Bush, to me, you know, not that I'm a libertarian, so there's no difference between them. But the big artistic difference between them is I believe that Clinton is completely and utterly cynical, and George Bush really believes what he says. I think that's the big difference. And I think that that's one of the reasons that Americans voted for Republicans this time around, because the Democrats have gotten this totally cynical vibe. And the Republicans, in my mind, are wrong, but they believe it. And the Democrats may be right, but they don't believe it. And that's the thing that tears me apart. But this little video clip, and everybody's seen it now. They've shown it everywhere a zillion times.
Now that I watched it, everyone's seen it.
Yeah, you were the last one. Of Clinton freaking out about he should have gone and killed bin Laden, which I don't know.
Aren't there laws against that?
I think he was an enemy even then. You could have gone and killed him. But I don't know if Clinton could have, you know, strapped on a six-shooter and gone over to wherever he was then, the Taliban. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. If you don't have letters on your phone, 866-570-7366, which spells PEN, coincidentally. What are the chances of that? Or penradio@gmail.com. penradio.com. Just call in. I want to know if anybody believes that Clinton was really upset at all, or if he just thought that, you know, the left is kind of turning against Hillary, and if he kind of just goes in there and really punches out, you know, the tough Chris Wallace. That Chris Wallace said he was scared.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, scared of Clinton's going to hit him. I was thinking, man, hit him. Man, that would make your career. If I were in an interview with Clinton and he hit me, I'd be the richest man. I'd be famous. Everyone in the world would watch that video.
Yeah, if you can get hit by an ex-president, yeah, like right in the face on TV, you are so set.
That's cool.
Yeah, you want to just, you just want to be like, Monica Lewinsky, Monica Lewinsky.
Punch
blue dress, blue dress, blue dress. Hey, yeah, yeah. Bet you could hit a fly. Yeah. You were going to go kill Osama bin Laden? You don't even dare hit me. You don't even dare hit me, wimp. That's what you'd be screaming, right? You're trying to
How great would that have been for Wallace, man?
Oh, yeah, be the greatest thing in the world. But he is cowering. You know, he's kind of going, ah, when he comes up. Because, you know, Clinton's a big guy. You know, Clinton's, what, 6'2"?
He's big, yeah.
Something like that. And so he would be coming at you. But I just think he didn't mean it at all. While we're waiting for calls at 866-570-PEN-7366, I just want to say that a guy sent us in this link. It's on Boing Boing, which is a directory of wonderful things. It's this website, Boing Boing. And it's one of the greatest articles I've ever seen. Secure your checked bags, fly with a gun. If you want to keep your checked valuables from being stolen while you fly, just keep a gun in your suitcase. Many airports won't let you effectively lock your suitcases when you fly, and the new limits on carry-on luggage, thanks to moisture terror hysteria, means it's open season for unscrupulous TSA employees and baggage handlers who want to help themselves to expensive cameras and other valuables in checked bags. But once you add a gun, even a starter pistol to your luggage, it gets extra locked, gains new tracking privilege, and is subject to heightened scrutiny all the way to your destination. A weapon is defined as rifle, shotgun, pistol, air gun, and starter pistol. Yes, starter pistol. Those little guns that fire blanks at track and swim meets are considered weapons and do not have to be registered in any state in the United States. Here's a guy writing, I have a starter pistol in my cases. All I do upon check-in is tell the airline agent, ticket agent, that I have a weapon to declare. I'm given a little card to sign. The card is put in the case. The case is given to a TSA official who takes my key and locks the case and gives my key back to me. That's the procedure. The case is extra tracked. TSA does not want to lose a weapons case. This reduces the chances of the case being lost to virtually zero. It's a great way to travel with camera gear. I've been doing this since December 2001 and have no problems whatsoever. So if you want to fly safely, have your bags fly safely, put a gun in your luggage. That's from Boing Boing, which is a great website. Boing Boing says fly with a gun in your baggage. I love that. Let's take a phone call. Let's see what Joe has to say here. What's up, Joe?
Hey there, Penn. Hey there, Michael. Hey. How you doing?
Very well, thank you. What's up with you?
Okay, I have something to say on the Clinton issue.
Go.
And I must say it's a pleasure to be calling on Clinton Monday.
Good. It's actually Cynical Monday, which is the same as Clinton Monday.
Yes, well, yeah, I'm not surprised. So, anyway, I'm calling because I saw that video, as with just about everybody else.
Yeah, Michael Goodell was the last one to see it this morning.
Yes, I heard. and I don't think he was really angry. I mean, I could tell he was, you know, he was slightly miffed at the least. But I could tell, I saw like a slight smile or maybe even a smirk on his face a couple times.
Well, that's what he accused Wallace of having a smirk on his face.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the word.
Right.
But watching it again, I think that it was just absolutely scripted and all ready to go. I think he was, no matter what he was asked there, he would have answered. I mean, he had his little thing on his $3 billion thing that they're doing for to help global warming and all the other things.
Sure.
But I think once he got off that, he was going to come down on that.
Right.
Yeah. But you think it was a little bit of an act, but not a complete act.
Yes. I'd also like to mention one other thing. When I first heard about the article, I saw it on CNN, and then I went on to, I think, YouTube or somewhere and just saw the video.
Yeah.
But anyway, I noticed the headline they had was Bill Clinton's interview, and then I think it said something along the lines of true anger or coolly calculated.
Mm-hmm.
But when I looked very closely, I noticed that coolly calculated was at a slightly larger font than the other one. So
you're being cynical about the cynics, is that right?
Oh, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Okay. Well, thanks. Thanks a lot, Joe. Thanks so much, Joe. What's up, Jim? What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Never better, boss. How you doing, man?
Good. I believe that former President Clinton was very angry.
You think? You really think so?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he always got upset when he, I hate to say, get caught with his pants down around his ankle, but you know, he always, when he got confronted with the truth, he always got upset.
Uh huh.
So you know, and it's just it's real obvious. And he, you know, he quoted something about General what was that guy's name? Kept going back to some general's book all the time.
Uh huh.
And to get the facts, I mean Clark.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they went back to General Clark's book because they said that President Bush had demoted him and or Condi Rice had demoted him, and that wasn't a fact either. He had asked to go to a certain program that they were – something with the Internet.
Uh-huh.
And he, it was something he asked Condi Rice to do. It wasn't – he was never demoted.
But don't you think, Jim, that someone who is president of the United States of America has control of their emotions completely? Don't you think that?
Yes. Well, look, my wife and I were both intelligence. We're both retired.
Uh-huh.
So I listen to all this stuff on the news constantly. And it's just, you can't, it's hard to buck the system when you're bucking uphill.
Uh-huh.
And lies and truths and things like that. But Clinton did a lot of things wrong.
Yeah.
And he knows he did.
But don't you think that one of the things he did right was blowing up on Fox? I mean, it seems like Fox is such a straw man. I mean, it looks like to the liberals that he's been really, really tough on the right-wing conspiracy, and it also gives Hillary more of her left-wing credentials and so on. Don't you think? Or do you think there was a little anger there because he was really caught doing nothing?
Oh, absolutely. There's too many. They were in the satellites had him. He was targeted several times,
mm-hmm.
and they wouldn't give him, they wouldn't give the CIA the go.
So
he wouldn't return. I think it was Castro. I think it was Berger that mm-hmm. kept calling President Clinton to get permission. Did we have him in the sights? Can we take him out? There were, you know, there was planes in the air, things like that, and he would never give. We'd never answer the phone to give the.
So your point is that Clinton really should have done more for Osama bin Laden, and therefore he was angry. My point would be that he should have done more for Osama bin Laden, and therefore he planned to blow up at Fox to change the whole thing.
Yeah, but look at where he comes from. Bin Laden comes from Saudi Arabia.
Uh-huh.
And where does all of our money go? Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Where were most of the people that flew into the 9/11 issue? They were from Saudi Arabia.
Is that true? Is that true that most of them are
yeah.
from Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, that is
yeah.
true.
I mean, you know, you know, what's the problem with our government right now? We're getting too political on everything.
Mm-hmm.
We're two Republican and two Democrat.
Okay. So you don't mean too political, you mean too partisan, really.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, we got issues right now. But, I mean, I'm glad. I mean, I was in with the Desert Shield, Desert Storm, mm-hmm. and my best friends were over there just recently, and my cousins were over there fighting
yep.
on helicopters and dying. And I'm glad we're over there fighting and not here.
Okay, so you are in favor of the Iraqi war?
Well, it's not a question of being. We need to pull out. We need to do it carefully.
Uh huh.
But we got, you know, we got other things in our crosshairs called Iran and North Korea.
Oh yeah, we sure do. We sure do. No. Well, thanks. Thanks an awful lot.
I got one other question.
Oh, sure.
For you.
Go ahead.
When are you on TV again?
The Bulls hit will come on for season 5, probably starting early 2007. We just opened up the offices and started writing that again. And we just pop up, you know, on regular TV like Bill Maher and stuff. We pop up and can't really.
I saw
predict
you
that.
On that.
Oh, thanks a lot, man.
That was good. I miss you on TV.
Okay, man. I'll try to get on more.
I mean, you hit it right on it. You're always right on target.
Well, thank you so much. I'm going to try to get on Chris Wallace and blow up at him. That's my plan. So if I don't really hit him, I won't be a coward about it. Thanks a lot, Jim.
You know, the YouTube titles for these video clips are amazing.
What are they?
You know, Chris Wallace, yellow journalist. Bill Clinton, real man. Or Bill Clinton gone mad. Bill Clinton kicks the crap out of Fox News.
Let's see what Jeff has to say. What's up, Jeff?
How are you? Yeah. The thing I have with Chris Wallace is he did come out and say that the path to 9/11 was fiction. And, you know, Clinton probably was acting somewhat, but I think his real anger came when Chris Wallace was trying to blame him for the current mess that Bush made. You know, Bush was in office 8 months and did nothing about it, Osama bin Laden. And Clinton, you know, he went after, you know, aspirin factories. I mean, you know, he was doing what the CIA intelligence allowed him to do.
Uh-huh. But did you just say before that you said that Chris said the path to 9/11 was fiction? Isn't that what Clinton claims?
Chris Wallace was against the Reagan film. And he was also didn't like this Path to 9/11 film for the same reason.
Okay, well that seems like the position one should take. One should either be for them both or against them both, isn't that right?
Yes.
But how do you think that got Clinton going?
No, I think what got Clinton going was that he was being blamed for the current mess that Bush has made.
I see. But you think he really was a little bit ticked off, and it wasn't just a you just think that he got angry, and then it turned out to be a good political move.
He launched rockets into Afghanistan, okay, and went after Osama bin Laden in the camps. Now, you know, that's the intelligence he was given, so that's what he did.
Uh-huh.
He probably ticked off bin Laden, who then said, you know, I'm going to go after you.
Uh-huh.
And that's probably what caused, that's probably caused 9/11.
Well, you know, what caused 9/11 is a zillion billion things. But do you think that Clinton knew? Did he say to his aides, I think when I go on with Chris Wallace, I'm going to blow up a little bit. It'll be a good move.
Well, I think he's been ticked off ever since the path to 9/11.
Right. But what I'm saying is, do you think he was planning on going mad and flipping out?
I don't think so. No.
Okay, I'm just trying to find out how cynical the listeners are. It certainly seemed that way to me, but thanks an awful lot. We're going to take a break now. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. It's Cynical Monday here at the Big Penn Jillette Show with Michael Goudeau. We're talking about did Clinton mean to flip out? Was that his plan? Yeah, this is Penn Jillette here on a big Cynical Monday on the Free FM CBS radio. Sitting with Michael Goudeau, 866-570-PEN, 7366 is the phone number. And I was asking kind of idly, I suppose, if Clinton had planned this blow-up. And people have been calling in kind of with both sides quite a bit on this. And it just seems to me, Lawrence O'Donnell Jr., my dear friend, has been on the show many times, so I call LOD. Bob the Skeptical Christian wrote in and said he has said on the air many times, having been in the center of politics, that everything a politician says is planned, no exceptions. And he knew Clinton really well, knows Clinton pretty well. And I think this is a case of that. I'm going to take a phone call here, see what you think. Hey, Aaron, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing today? Happy Cynical Monday.
Hey, thanks so much, man.
I want to get a nice theme. Plus, I just wanted to say it was really cool. There's like a countdown. I thought like a shuttle was going to go off or something while I was waiting for you guys. It was cool.
Oh,
yeah, that was neat, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was awesome. Like he said, you guys are hot. And I was like, sweet.
Yeah, there we
watch
go
those
on.
Tiles.
It's very exciting, isn't it, Aaron?
Oh, man. I just felt all a quiver. I felt like I want to go puke on a monkey right freaking now, man. I am ready.
You are ready. Well, talk to us, Aaron.
Well, no, I mean, I'm glad y'all were talking about this today because I was thinking, first off, that, I mean, he's a politician.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no politician that does not do anything that they are prepared for on some level.
Yeah.
I mean, flat out. Or else they wouldn't be a politician.
Exactly.
They'd be a good human being.
Exactly.
So the thing is that, well, you know, so, I mean, and that's nonpartisan. They're all schmucks.
Absolutely.
But the thing is, I think he was ready for it because if Bill Clinton went on Fox News without being aware that something was going to come up, mm-hmm. then he's a friggin' idiot.
Yeah.
And I think that it's just been so long since we've seen a politician say something that wasn't scripted. I think he was prepared, but it didn't come across as scripted.
I think it was scripted, and he did a great job acting. I
mean, well, just, you know, he might be a great actor.
He might be.
We could use more of him, so that's cool. You know what I mean? But I didn't see that. I think he was just. It's been so long since we've seen a politician or anybody in the public eye that was prepared and giving a real live debate, and it wasn't a completely fabricated structure.
I think that was a completely fabricated structure, Aaron.
Well, you
I
know
really
what?
Do.
It's cool. I mean, you know, that's what it's all about.
Okay, man.
You know.
Thanks a lot, Aaron.
Okay, man. You guys take it easy.
Okay, man. Thanks.
Bye.
Let's take hey, Daniel, what's up, man?
Hey, Dan.
Doing very well, sir. How are you?
Good. Oh, I love your show on Showtime also.
Oh, thanks so much, man. Thanks. What's up?
So, I was watching last night, and I think he was naturally angry, but he was angry in a situation where he was happy to blow up on him.
Yeah, I think he had decided that it was time. I mean, that's the weird thing about acting. You know, I think that the emotions can be very, very real, and I think that he probably was having a great time being able to answer this stuff. But I think that he also knew he was going to do it. I think there was a whole meeting beforehand where he looked and said, well, this will help Hillary. This will help the Democrats. This will give them talking points. This will get the whole thing going.
Well, I'm sure he thought something was going to happen going on to a conservative news television station.
Also, Fox isn't that conservative. I mean, Fox is, you know, is more toward the middle than people think, but it's very important for the liberals to push him over right. I mean, that's Al Franken's career, you know, pushing them way over to the right. And, of course, you know, I don't believe them, and I don't like them. Once again, I'll say that my credentials are I'm libertarian, so nobody could dislike that kind of jive more than me. But I just don't go, you know, I don't say that Fox is jive and therefore Clinton's right, but I do think that Clinton was very ready for that and very ready to go. He knew what station he was going to be on. He knew the way it was going to feel, and he just got ready to have a little bit of fun doing his Sean Penn thing, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, thanks a lot, Daniel. Thanks so much, man. Let me just see. Let's see what Scott has to say. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Ben, how you doing?
Doing very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing good. Truthfully, I really think that Clinton's he's very, very poised and very composed, and he really has, you know, a good sense of the public, and that's why he is a good politician in that regard.
Uh-huh.
But I really think that he got sandbagged, and I think that this is armchair quarterbacking, you know, basically they're questioning everything he did, and they do that to everybody. They did it to Carter. Shouldn't you have moved in? This was years ago.
Uh-huh.
And he is restricted by a lot of other aspects of government. It's not like he's the one that does it all.
Absolutely.
So, and I can definitely understand him getting upset about being asked questions, basically questioning his integrity and what his intent was.
So you think he went on there and he was surprised by being asked why he didn't get Osama bin Laden, and then he got angry and yelled at the guy without ever thinking that that might happen or what he might do ahead of time?
No, actually, I think that that in that aspect, I don't think he was surprised to be asked questions that were, yeah, because he gets asked questions like that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know, maybe he had a bad night or whatever. I think it just got on his nerve, and he is a human, and he got lit, and
see, I'm
then
not
he
sure.
therefore started going off.
I'm not sure I go with that he's a human thing. I think that's an extraordinary claim. I think when you're a politician, that human thing gets put aside, and you are just, I mean, how can, even when I go on shows, and I am not guarded at all. I'm saying whatever pops into my head, but I usually have a pretty good idea. The only time I ever went off out of control was on Politically Incorrect right after my mom died, and it was a very stupid thing to book it right after that, and there was a psychic on who was saying that she was talking to the dead and could talk to my mom, and I went flip city. But I am not good at that. I am not good at that, you know.
Right.
Clinton really, really is. You know, I'm actually, you know, every time I go on a show, I'm thinking, well, I guess it'd be okay to flip out. I don't think that ever crosses Clinton's mind, that it's okay to flip out unless it's planned in advance, and I think it was for that last time. But thanks an awful lot, Scott. Let's talk to Steve. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up, guys? Bullish on DVD. Got them all. Love it.
Good. Thanks, man.
Okay. Listen, Clinton did that. That was all planned out. He definitely knew it was coming up. And he definitely flipped out for a purpose, but for good reason, because he's been attacked continually for years and years and years. He was attacked while he was trying to combat Osama bin Laden in the late 1990s mm-hmm. with Wag the Dog and Get It Off Monica mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. Every time he tried to do something, he was attacked by who was in power there for Congress is the Republicans, and I am one, so I can say this. It's fine with me. But the Republicans hindered a lot of what he wanted to do, and that really was the big problem. And the thing with the Clinton was offered bin Laden and all that kind of stuff. Page 3 of the 9/11 report, read it, says nothing, says there was no credible information mm-hmm. to support that claim.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of people saying it. I'm sorry.
I couldn't agree more that whenever something really, really terrible happens, we need to, and for very good reason, we need to try to assign blame, and that's a way to keep our society in check and try to learn and not do it again. But, of course, that gets way out of line, and I don't think you can blame anyone for 9/11, really, except the people that were flying the airplanes and people that encouraged them to do that. I think at some point the buck has to stop, and when they say that the reasons they gave for doing it were the reasons that they did it. And yes, you could have killed anyone that could have done something bad to the U.S. before they do it. But, you know, you're going to get a lot of heat for it, and you might be wrong. There's no intelligence that's that good. So I guess in this front, I'm on Clinton's side and what he actually did. But I'm just saying that, you know, when a person uses getting angry like that as a tool, I just think it's very important that we all point out that it is being used as a tool and not think that we're actually seeing a human being having a real reaction.
It's almost like comedy in that respect. It really is, because it is planned out. It's ready. It's staged. But you know what? I'm actually kind of glad. I'm kind of glad there was some kind of indignation on his part. And there was a Democrat with a spine who actually stood up and said, hey, it's not all my fault.
You know, that's really a nice way to put it. The comparison to comedy of things that are ad-libbed and improvised still being in the repertoire, in the possibility of things that a person would throw out is a pretty good way to put it. I mean, that's kind of you've kind of found the place between cynical and credulous, I think, when you just say that being skeptical about the whole thing. Sure, this was in one of his plays, but once he got going, the emotion was probably real and probably deserving. Very well put, Steve. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you.
That was good. And before we go to break, I want to talk about my hero. I mean, we're going to get back to this. We're talking about my hero, which is Keith Dennis. Keith Dennis of Dennis Mitsubishi out in Columbus, Ohio. And if you live in Ohio and listen to this on podcast or something, go buy a goddamn car. Keith Dennis did these ads that have been rejected by everybody. This is the thing you've heard about where our prices are lower than the evildoers every day. Just ask the Pope. He's got Fatwa Friday, and he declares a jihad on high prices. And everybody's saying this is an anti-Muslim thing. And this really points it out. If you can't use the words jihad without respect and fatwa without respect, he's not even saying Allah. He's not even saying any of the stuff. He's not saying Muhammad. He's not saying any of that stuff. If you are moderate Islam and you do not believe in killing people, then making fun of the words jihad and making fun of the words fatwa and giving away rubber swords to kids on Friday, I think is just terrific and perfectly American. If we can't make fun of the enemy, what the hell can we do? And it's not making fun of Islams that don't want to kill us. It's just making fun of Muslims that do want to kill us. We'll be back after this. 866-570-PEN 7366. It's Cynical Monday here. PenRadio@gmail.com. PenRadio.com. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette with Michael Goodell on the Penn Jillette Show on Free FM. That's CBS Radio. 866-570-PEN is the number, 7366, if you don't have letters on your phone. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. I want to point out again that tomorrow will not be a Monkey Tuesday. Tomorrow's going to be a great Phyllis Diller interview that's already taped. It's already taped, and we did it, and it's fabulous. Phyllis Diller is one of my really, really big heroes. Did so much for women in comedy, so much for women in general, and she's really strong skeptic. She doesn't take any bull hit from anybody, and she's a great, great person. And the interview went very well. We did it in L.A. About a couple weeks ago, and we're going to play it tomorrow so I can go play poker with the pros and the hotties, trying to figure out which one I am. So tomorrow will not be a Monkey Tuesday, but it'll be a Phyllis Diller Tuesday. So tune into that. We've got a few Gmails that came in. Phone lines are full too. But I'm going to read a few Gmails. We got an email from Aaron. That's not often that we get someone that's on the phone and then writes a Gmail right afterwards. Aaron wants to be in every possible way he communicate with us. He's going to. There'll be smoke signals out here. But I was thinking, what if Penn was going to be on a show with Uri Geller? Wouldn't he prepare himself and at least have an outline of what he was going to say? I think Clinton knew what Fox would do, frame a question in a way that it's a lose-lose situation, and Clinton was prepared to defend himself because Fox's methods are pretty obvious. And then he ends with, you guys are hot. Absolutely right. I think that's that kind of middle ground. You know, a lot of people on radio talk shows throw out questions. We actually answer them. You know, we finally kind of got it kind of laid out as how much he was prepared for it, but he actually felt the real emotions. Here's someone that says Clinton's finger wag is his tell that he is full of bull's hit. It's like Pinocchio's nose growing. It's true that whenever he's been, you know, dead wrong, he's always had the finger out there pointing, the finger. And someone else writes, the clip of Chris Wallace having his ass handed him by Clinton was fantastic. It's got a hyphen in it. Really? Put that in. What struck me most about the interview was the body language and how it changed once Clinton got going. At the beginning of the interview, they were sitting in kind of a neutral position, but then once Clinton got upset. Every time the camera would cut to a side shot, you could see how they were facing each other. You could see Clinton just towering over Chris Wallace, talking and pointing down to him, while Wallace was basically cowering on the other side. It was great to see. Was it planned? Who knows? Why not? Was Bill Clinton ready for it? Absolutely. Did Wallace and the Fox Network get put in their place? Totally. So that's one point of view there. Let's take a call from Paul. How you doing, Paul?
How you doing, Ben?
Never better, boss. Never better. What's up?
I don't understand how you could say that was planned. He said he didn't say anything that was even close to being true. And then he just kept ranting and raving and wouldn't let Chris Wallace ask him a question because he knew the next question was, you know, why didn't you handle it after he declared war on us?
Uh-huh.
And
so you think he really was just flipping out?
Oh, yeah. What did he say? How did he put Fox in their place? I don't understand how people say they put him in their place. He didn't say anything worth.
I think what he said mostly was at least he tried to get Osama bin Laden, and the first 8 months of the Bush administration, he didn't even try.
But he keeps referring to the Clark guy, and even the Clark guy says that he was disappointed. He shot six cruise missiles over at Al Qaeda base after USS Cole or one of them.
Yeah,
and that was all he did, and he didn't understand why. And I heard on the radio today about they called him a couple times, said they had Bin Laden in their sights. Do you want us to move on them? And they never picked up the phone. He never picked up the phone.
Yeah, do they really? Does the president really have? I mean, a guy just wrote this into us. If they have Bin Laden surrounded, do they really wait for the president to say okay on that? I mean, I really thought the president was more of a figurehead than that. Do you believe that they're waiting for Clinton to say okay, take out Bin Laden?
Yeah, why would they lie if they said they had him in their sights? And
why would they lie? Is always everybody has a reason to lie all the time. But I know what you mean. So you think that Clinton really did flip out mostly because what he accomplished was. But don't you think that his net accomplishment there was pretty good? I mean, don't you think he made his camp and the Democrats able to cheer, and he attacked Fox and all the Al Franken guys and stuff are going to be thrilled by this? Don't you think it ended up being good for him?
I don't know. Maybe from a Democrat's point of view, I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican either. But I don't see how that helped him out any. He didn't get himself off the hook any.
Yeah, well, I thought maybe the emotion would do that. But thanks a lot, Paul.
He raised his voice on TV.
Yeah, I mean, that's something. I mean, that's something. And he's in a position to be able to do it where someone that's actually running can't do that. I don't even know. I don't know what Mike's going to talk about. What's up, Mike?
What's up, Michael? What's up, Penn?
How you doing, man?
Good day. I heard you guys talking about how he would be aggressive on TV about trying to get more support for his wife.
Yeah.
But in New York, only 5% of the registered Republicans even showed up for the primary. So I think his wife has a lot of support as it is, and he doesn't need to support her by going on and being aggressive about it.
But don't you think that Hillary Clinton has moved herself very much toward the middle, and if she's going to run for president, which, I mean, she's already running for president, that she should have the left think that she's still gutsy? And doesn't her husband blowing up on TV help that a little bit?
I don't know. I wouldn't think so, because I don't think she's going to run for president this time. Maybe next time, because I think the Democrats would be smart enough to try to rebuild first before trying to put her in and just handing it over to the Republicans. So that's about all I got.
Okay, well, thanks so much.
I love the show. Love Monkey Tuesday. I own a pay service, but I turn it off just to listen to you guys.
Oh, thanks so much, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
That's a compliment
there. That's the greatest compliment we've ever gotten. I own a pay service, but I turn it off to listen to you guys. Yeah. Are you listening, CBS? Are you listening to that? That's what we want to hear. That's what Free FM wants to hear. Any other good Gmails coming in there, Goodell? We got a few calls. I guess I'll just go to them. Let's talk to Tom. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how you doing, Pam?
Never better, boss. How you doing?
Hey, you know, Al Franken needs you.
He does?
You're the only one that can save Air America.
You think so? Think I should go on Air America? Is that where I should go?
Hey, I had a comment about Colin Powell and our other illustrious Senator McCain.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah,
they made a joint statement today.
Did they?
Yeah, they said the Pope and Bill Clinton are in danger of losing the moral high ground.
Very well put, Tom.
Hey,
Thank you.
But what I did want to say about Clinton, just like you're talking about his finger wagon.
Yeah.
You remember when he was lying about Lewinsky?
Yeah, that finger comes out, doesn't it?
And look at his eyes squinting.
Yeah.
You know, the guy, and you know, did you notice what kind of hardball interview Russert gave him yesterday?
Yeah, it was really hard ball. Very, very hard ball. Yeah. It was like being attacked by Jay Leno.
He's so far left. They're so far left, they don't know where center is.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much, Tom.
Hey, one pen?
Yeah, go ahead.
One other last question.
Go, shoot.
Next door neighbor of mine stationed over at CENTCOM.
Yeah.
Back when they were bombing the no-fly zones.
Sure.
Bombing all their anti-aircraft guns.
Yeah.
And everybody over there wanted somebody to go in and take care of that guy.
Oh, really? So you're saying that Clinton was holding him back?
And, I mean, they wanted to take care of Saddam, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, all of the attacks since the beginning, the first 9/11 of 93,
mm-hmm.
all of that, there's only one reason, and it was in his declaration of war. Because we were in Saudi Arabia flying the no-fly zones. Mm-hmm. That's why he attacked us in Khobar Towers,
mm-hmm.
in the first World Trade Center.
Yep.
He laid it all out in his declaration. This baloney about Saddam had nothing to do with it.
Right. It was all
right. But we had troops in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Bin Laden didn't want us to have troops in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's why he's been attacking all of our stuff, because we were keeping Saddam in a box. Like everybody says, oh, it was okay. We were keeping him in a box. But nobody talks about the oil for food.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Next time you go to the grocery store, right?
Yeah.
Bring a can of oil with you, right?
Yeah.
And say, here, I want some oil for food.
Okay. Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, Ben.
Thanks
bye.
A lot. I got a little lost there. Did you get a little lost?
A little lost there.
A little bit lost.
I just couldn't help but think of Clinton skipping out, singing, hey, diddly-dee, an actor's life for me. His finger getting longer and longer.
Yeah, I know. He does, though. It was exactly the Monica Lewinsky thing.
Yeah.
That you know, it's that thing in the Caro Book of Tells, if you read the poker book.
Sure.
You know, strong means weak. When someone like pushes their chips in really aggressively and says, you know, I'm ready to go, let's go at it, come on, bring it on. It might be that they're sitting on a 2-7 unsuited. So maybe when he, you know, does that leaning forward and finger pointing thing. Let's take another call here. This is Mike. How you doing, Mike?
super duper.
Super duper is what I like to hear, Mike. Lay it on us. What you got?
Well, I've got 2 points here. Number one, I think that it was set up, like you said, by some strategist by saying, you know, look tough on this issue. We need backing on this issue. But I think he went overboard like a drug addict stealing a $20 bill out of his mom's purse and getting caught.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, you know, just way overboard and way too defensive about it.
Yeah, well, when the law is on your side, pound the law. When the facts are on your side, pound the facts. When neither's on your side, pound the table. So maybe that's a little bit of the lawyer advice he got early on.
Yes.
Well, thanks so much, Mike.
You guys have a super day.
Okay, you too. Okay, bye.
Where do you come up with all these?
What do
you have these great...
you know, aphorisms?
Your aphorisms are they're amazing.
Oh, I've been around a little while.
Them?
I've been around a little
been
while.
Around
yeah.
the block.
And let's see how those do me tomorrow. Tomorrow, as I said before, it's a great
Phyllis
interview.
Diller.
And this is what I can say in advance because we already taped this. It's a great interview with Phyllis Diller, and she's just wonderful, and she tells great stories. You know, Phyllis Diller was at Tiny Tim's wedding. You know, when Tiny Tim was married on the Johnny Carson show.
To Miss Vicky?
To Miss Vicky, yeah. When he was married to Miss Vicky on The Tonight Show in 1969, I think it was September of 69, it was like 84.7 or something, but almost 85% of the TV sets that were on in the United States of America were watching Tiny Tim get married. And his guest list included Phyllis Diller. And tomorrow... I will ask her, because I already asked her, I already know the answer, why she was invited to Tiny Tim's wedding. But Phyllis Diller, to me, one of the most important comics of the 60s. I mean, really, really did make it okay for women to be aggressive, and also for women to put themselves down in that kind of way, you know, that kind of strong way. You know, a lot of the feminists jumped on Phyllis Diller for you know, putting herself down. But the most powerful men in comedy put themselves down. Bob Hope, you know, all of those people who was her real hero and mentor. He would always do jokes that were on him. So I'll be talking to Phyllis Diller tomorrow. There will not be a Monkey Tuesday, but we'll be back. We'll be back a week from tomorrow with another Monkey Tuesday. And make sure you go to if you're really jonesing for some monkey information tomorrow, you can go to do a search for what is it, gorilla race?
Yeah, the big gorilla race in London.
Big gorilla race in London. And you can find yourself some great pictures of people in gorilla suits. Don't they die from the heat?
Well, that's why they do it in London.
I see.
It's the only city in the world you can do it and not die.
And tomorrow I'll be playing poker with the Full Tilt boys, a lot of the Full Tilt guys, you know, Howard Lederer, Andy Block. And I guess I'm a hottie. I guess I will be playing the part.
What are you wearing?
I'll be playing I'm wearing something really low cut that really features. I'll be working the talent. Hey, Happy Jack just walks in at the very, very end. Okay, so thanks a lot for clearing that whole Clinton thing up. He was prepared for it, but might have gone a little bit overboard. Penn Jillette here with Michael Goudeau. Hasn't anyone ever heard of closing the goddamn door? I mean, has anyone ever heard of closing the goddamn door? That's what I chimed in with. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.